Well, hey there, folks. Welcome to Astronomica, a Stars Without Number actual play podcast.
Our story takes place 6 centuries after the collapse of an interstellar empire as a band of ne'er-do-wells pick through the ashes.
We're not ne'er-do-wells.
If anything, we're oft-do-wells.
When have you ever done well?
We've had more than 160 episodes. There's been tons of well-doing.
That's too much for him to go back through.
Then he can listen to one of our regular synopsis episodes and get all caught up on the backstory.
Okay, fine, but you're rare-do-wells at best.
Okay.
Fine.
Guys, do you think we should scrap Astronomica and just make a show called Rare Do Well?
Yes, I do.
We've got more than 3 years of zany characters, unique planets, and novel sci-fi situations. We've built an awesome and inclusive fan community. We are not starting over.
Okay, but I mean, Astronomica kind of sucks. Rare Do Wells sounds awesome.
Don't listen to them. Astronomica's great. We're really proud of it. Check us out on a podcatcher of your choice or visit astronomicapodcast.com. Excelsior.
Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and danger lurks in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast...
Let me tell you, this planet smells like farts.
Well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. They're only humans.
Haley with two Y's has some skills, and they are, like, violent.
Those drives weren't that hard. Punched right through them.
Now let's get out there and hack the galaxy.
I'm going to Wafisa. I'm getting my Wafisa latte from Wafisa Bucks. And then going to Wafisa Land.
You get Wafisa cinnamon on your Wafisa latte.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay for it with Wafisa credits.
I went to Wafisa and all I got was this lousy Wafisa.
All I got was this lousy bullet wound.
The problem with Wafisa is that it's all paper straws in your Wafisa lattes.
That's the grand work is paper straw. No, the cardboard straw thing.
Oh yeah, cardboard straws only. That's the great work of the Guardians of Wafisa.
I thought that the great work was making everything called Wafisa. Because it's a real Wafisa shit.
Oh, got him.
So I guess last time you were making your way to Dr. Alara Voss, who is supposedly at Mistrata 4, which is a research base owned by Omnitech Holdings. And you were waylaid by two guardians of the great work.
Incredibly rude guardians.
Incredibly unfun people. After seeing how well armed you were, they backed off. Then they came back and decided to kill you and take your money, which they think is rightfully theirs, in service of the great work. Ailey and Thorn were mortally wounded and brought back by the strength of good medical rolls and Lazarus patches. After going back to your ship, you found it guarded by more guardians of the great work. And so you decided to simply continue your journey to find Dr. Alara Voss and hopefully find reinforcements to take back your ship. You are moving south. There is a mile ahead of you. You move cautiously through the abandoned streets of Wafisa. You do not meet any other resistance as you move towards Mistrata 4. It is not long before you arrive at the door of Mistrata 4. Here you can see there's a great double door crafted of metal. There's a digipad off to the right, assumably to type in the code and gain entry. There's a security camera up on the top right. It is starting to get dark out. The 36-hour day of Wafisa is finally coming to an end and going into the 8-hour night cycle.
Well, we're expected, aren't we? It's Omnitech, after all.
You may be right, but that might not be it to our benefit.
Well, we're for the same master. I walk up to the door, wave at the camera, and look at the keypad to see if there's like a ring button to push.
Yeah, there's a call button.
Yeah, push that. I push the call button.
The camera swivels to watch you as you walk up to the keypad. And when you press the button, a light flicks on the keypad. And you have the distinct feeling that you're being watched from two different angles. A voice comes out from an unseen speaker.
Yes? What do you want?
This is Felix Champlin with Blackout 1. We were sent here for Alara Voss. We've got some wounded here. So please let us in.
Help us out, and we'll be on our way.
Alara Voss is here, but we're currently not allowing entry into Mistrata 4.
Didn't you hear me? We're with Omnitech. We're part of Blackout 1.
I believe we have the proper clearance.
And we're injured.
Entrance denied.
What? Slammed the door. We were told to come here.
Who are we speaking with?
I am Dr. Alara Voss, and I am telling you entry denied. This is no more an Omnitech holding research facility as it is a circus. I owe nothing to that corporation.
Well, great, because we don't give a damn about them either. But we got a few bullet holes in us, and we'd really like to come inside and get them tended.
I don't mind helping you with your injuries, but you must tell me why you are looking for me.
That's understandable. Omnitech received a deep space transmission. They think you're the person to figure it out.
You're the most skilled xenolinguist they could think of. That should be worth something, right?
Omnitech's opinion of me is worth dirt. What I'm hearing is you have a ship, and you want to take me away from Wafisa. Is that correct?
If you're willing.
Who is your ship's comms officer?
Yeah.
Tell me about your ship's electrical and comm systems.
It's a standard frigate. What do you want to know?
How standard is it?
Pretty boilerplate from what I could tell. That wasn't really my focus, getting out here.
Do you have any sort of artificial intelligence on your ship?
Nothing I turned up, and, you know, I was looking over the code pretty closely, looking over the operating system, but I wasn't looking for anything in particular.
Have you searched your ship for bugs? Have you searched your ship for Omnitech holding spies?
Well, if there were any in the cargo hold, I can guarantee you they're not in there anymore.
I'm interested in leaving Wafisa, but my work here is not done yet. I'm willing to make a deal. The people at this research base are lost. We're bereft of work. Our goal here of studying foreign life and how it reacts in high methane environments, in the hopes of perhaps colonizing some of the most dangerous worlds in the system, has been stymied. The great methane vents that power our base here have been shut off. The guardians of the great work have been systematically taking switching stations all over the city and turning them only towards their sector. Of course, that means that our base no longer has a methane supply, which, as you know, is what Wafisa is known for.
Yeah. No, we knew that, for sure.
Totally.
Go to the methane switching station that's nearby. Turn it back towards us. Destroy the controls. And then that'll give at least a few months of research time to my compatriots. At which point, I would be happy to leave with you, knowing that my friends and compatriots can continue on my studies and it has not all been in vain.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great, but can you help us out a little bit first? We got some hurt people here.
There's a delivery bay on the back of Mistrata 4. By the time you've circled around, we'll already have pushed something out of the slot door for you. Travel south a kilometer. You'll find a switching station at the corner of 4th Ave. Careful, it's probably guarded by the guardians of the great work. As they take these switching stations, they've been leaving loyal soldiers behind. Take them out, switch the valves so that we regain our methane access, and to destroy the valves so they can't take it back. And then I'd be happy to join you for a few months and sojourn to the far regions of the galaxy. In fact, I'd be happy to never come back to Wafisa ever again.
Ditto.
Had one too many Wafisa lattes?
Hell yeah. Let me tell you, that created a whole bunch of methane for me. Those Wafisa lattes, who bought them? Now, Doctor, is there any way you could tell us what is the great work?
Oh, the great work. Well, to fully understand it, you'd have to know Wafisa's history. But suffice to say, the great industry of Wafisa was gas mining, methane specifically. Well, they want to reconstruct what was lost to entice back the corporations that abandoned us and make the Wafisa megacity great once again. Of course, by doing that, they're stomping on the little people. Whoever's left here, the researchers, the commoners, the people with no cred to leave, they're the ones that are suffering
I appreciate the help, and we'll be back as soon as we can.
So you go around back of Mistrata 4, and you find that there's a docking bay. It's basically a big double door with a slot in it. And out of the slot, which is now closed, has been pushed 4 packets of lift that are now laying on the ground in their shrink-wrapped magnificence. Tearing them open, one at a time, you administer them to Haley and Thorn. And are you guys just trying to get back up to full hit points?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so roll 1d8 each, and I'll give you back a certain number of hit points. And if you need to, you can use the second lift for each of you as well. Oh, so Haley got a 3. So Haley, go ahead and roll another 1d8 if you want to get back up to full. And Thorn, you're back up to full with a roll of 7.
Hey.
Out of 4 lift packs, you've used 3. And Haley's second roll is... Okay, so Haley, you're up to full. Thorn's up to full. And you have 1 more lift pack for a later date.
I'll hold on to that.
So everyone is now healed up to full. You have 1 extra lift pack. And you have 1 kilometer of space between you and the nearest switching station. It is getting dark. You were not allowed access into Mistrata 4. There are, however, a lot of derelict buildings around if you wish to rest for the night. What would you like to do?
I'd like to take high ground here if I can and see if I can get a lay of the land, see if we see any of them guardians, doers of the great work in our near vicinity.
Okay, so what does that look like? Are you trying to climb up one of the skyscrapers, like 3, 4, 5 stories?
Yeah, so I'd prefer to go to a high but accessible building with a view on a main road and basically use my good old-fashioned binoculars and LASIK to see as far as I can and especially look for anybody who's patrolling.
Okay, excellent. Is anyone else going with Robert?
No, but I'll go into the ground floor. Like, we can all go into the ground floor of whatever building he finds and see if we can set up for the night, because I do feel like we should probably hunker down for the night. Also, looking for access points, because I'm going to try to get some more information about the area or see if there's any systems that I can get in on.
Okay, so are you setting up camp on the ground floor of that building or somewhere else?
The ground floor of that building.
I agree, and I'm finding a building where I can survey reasonably around it. We have comms, so I can communicate if somebody's coming and letting the injured rest as much as possible.
Thorn and Haley, do you guys have anything you want to add?
Honestly, I think Haley right now is just hoping to finish up her recovery. So,
yeah, I think we're just on the mend at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. So, Felix, on the ground floor, you set up camp while Thorn and Haley begin to just rest and you're, you know, trying to make them comfortable. Are you building a campfire at all?
What's the ambient temperature like?
So here on Wafisa, there is a dense swirling fog that is currently blanketing the area. It carries a faint metallic tang to it. The temperature hovers at a damp 63 degrees Fahrenheit, which for our European listeners, too bad, it's 63 Fahrenheit. I'm not going to tell you the Celsius.
Boom!
Got him.
It's cool but uncomfortable as moisture clings to everything around you. It is damp, and any wood that you find that's not already undercover is damp and practically unusable.
We are inside, so are the buildings offline? There's no heat?
Correct.
Okay. But we're inside. We're out of the damp, at least. So that's...
Yeah, you're inside. A lot of the windows are blown out. The doors are off their hinges. But you are inside, and you're dry.
Okay. I think that'll have to do.
So no campfire as Robert Ross makes his way up to the 5th story and pulls out his high-powered binoculars. Go ahead and give me a notice int. So as the sun is setting over the city of Wafisa on the planet of Wafisa, you move your TL3 binoculars across as much of the city as you can see before other buildings begin to block it. You are in one of the taller buildings of the area. However, you're only up on floor 5. So you look over the lower buildings and around the taller buildings where you can. Time passes. You're up there for a couple hours as Felix is downstairs setting up camp and everyone is enjoying a Spartan dinner of whatever rations you have on you. It's not long before you start to see patrols. Seems to be irregular, not on a particular like timing. It's not like it's every hour, but you do see 2, 3, 4 men at a time walking by with flashlights, brandishing guns.
So I come downstairs. Y'all, I saw quite a few patrols coming this way. You might have seen some lights. I suggest we make our way up one more story. Take a position where we can ambush them if they come and patrol us. Y'all ready to move?
Yeah, that sounds right to me, Robert. Good eyes. Yeah, we saw some lights go by here, so I think it'll be good to get up before.
Thorn's like already mostly asleep, so someone's going to have to stir him.
Thorn, hey, come on. Hey.
What? Yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah, up one more floor, then you can go back to sleep.
Thorn, don't you even worry about it. I carry him like a big old baby. Haley, I can't carry your ass upstairs.
Nope,
sorry,
I got
bro.
It.
Me neither.
Oh, thank you, Robert. That's perfect. I take one credit and I like put it in his like chest pocket. That's for your troubles, my friend.
So you make your way up, and no campfire still. Everyone beds down for the night. Robert, ever vigilant, takes out his binoculars and sweeps the landscape once again. And it's a good thing you moved, because in the twilight hours of the night, as we get towards 3 a.m., a patrol goes by that actually enters your building and looks around on the first floor. You can hear voices echoing. They don't simply come in and leave. They weren't searching. They hang out. It seems that they've chosen this derelict building as their clubhouse for the night. They're probably trying to avoid guard duty as much as they can. From one floor up, you hear their raucous laughter. You hear the clinking of bottles. You hear the swears, the dirty jokes, the fight that breaks out. And as dawn breaks, you hear them get up and leave. Robert, you see them out of the window and follow them with the binoculars as they move off to the east, stumbling drunk. If you hadn't moved, there may have been a nasty fight this night.
Good job, y'all.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. You really saved our ass on that one. And, you know, Robert, I just want to say, you didn't need that bionic eye to see that. You did well, man. Thanks.
It only cost me $1 million. Fuck you, Nexus Corp.
Yeah, man. Fuck Nexus Corp.
Fuck Nexus Corp.
Yeah, fuck Nexus Corp.
All right, now, what do you say we get on with the job?
So you get up and you begin to make your way back out to the street in the light of a new day. So you have a little bit of a distance to go and you'll arrive at the switching station that Dr. Alara Voss told you about.
I would like, guys, if we're all on board, to move slowly and use the buildings for cover.
Yeah, it's basically exactly what I was going to say. We should keep slow and quiet and, you know, keep our eyes peeled.
Okay. So the four of you move out into the light of a new day. The dawn on this planet is beautiful. Instead of the rich pinks and purples of old Earth, you find yourself looking at the greens and yellows of a foreign land. The different mixture of gases in the air, although still breathable and sometimes smelling a bit foul, create a beautiful mix for the nearby star to reflect off of. The air is crisp. The fog from the previous night burns away as the sun of this world crests over the horizon. After a kilometer of moving your way carefully through the streets, you find yourself looking at the switching station, an unassuming building amidst a block of other buildings. The station is not very large. It is simply 2 stories tall with a double door on the front. On the roof, you can see a guardian of work, rifle strapped securely to his back. He's sitting on a chair, looking out at the sunrise. He seems to be appreciating it. The door is closed.
Are there any buildings in the near vicinity where I could get a level view of him?
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of the buildings in the area are 2 stories or taller.
Now, what do y'all think? Do y'all want me to scale one of these and try to take him out?
We don't know how many more are inside, right?
No idea.
I wonder if there's an access point I can get in. Maybe get a view of the inside. Get into the security system.
I love that.
We just can't risk being spotted. It looks right now he's not paying attention, but...
Yeah, is there a computer terminal or anything like on the front of the building?
So there's a double door closed. There is a keypad and then one side of the building is pressed up against the building next to it. The other side, there is a narrow alleyway that leads off to the back. There are no windows or anything else on the front of this two-story building.
And he's facing towards the building that it's right up against, or the alleyway building?
He's facing out towards the street at an angle away from you as he's watching the sun rise over Wafisa.
Okay, so we could, like, scoot towards the other building, possibly.
Yeah, he's facing away from the alleyway at a 45-degree angle.
If we move fast, we could get into that alley before he sees us, and then maybe we go ahead with Robert's plan.
Sounds good to me.
We'll follow your lead.
Okay, if that's the plan, I need everyone to roll a sneak dex.
Oh, guys, it's going to be bad.
I'm sure everyone is excellent at that.
Totally.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay, so three of you sneak forward quite adeptly. The fourth of you, Felix, sneaks forward what seems to be loudly, but isn't that loud. And this guy is two stories up and distracted as he crying? He's looking at the beautiful sunset. A single tear courses down his rough cheek and into his thick beard. He wipes it away and then nervously looks around. No, nobody saw him cry at the beautiful sunrise. Nobody noticed his vulnerability as the four of you sneak into the alleyway on the southern side of the building. Hey, Spacers, thanks for cruising through the cosmos with us. If you want to go behind the airwaves and dive deeper into our universe, join our Patreon crew. You'll get ad-free early access to every episode, as well as a host of bonus content, including Star Master logs, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. Ooh. Your support helps keep this ship running and the stories unfolding. So if you love exploring the Viridian Expanse with us, hop on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast and become part of the crew. Thanks for being on board. Let's follow that signal together.
Felix, I've been telling you, you gotta oil them knees up. I mean, we've been talking since that's Bionics 101. Anyway, I think, do y'all see a terminal up over here? Do you see anything that we might be able to tap into?
Listen, these legs are not my fault. The new Lucerne military fucked it up when they put them on me. Trying to fix him, you know that, Robert.
I can get you a great deal on some WD-40.
Yeah, it doesn't work, man. You know I've tried. It's a sore spot. We're here. We're safe.
There are no ports here in the alleyway. But as you move your way back to the rear side of the building, you do find that there is a rear window, but there is no port. And there's also a ventilation. Very small ventilation hole. Probably no larger than a child could fit through.
Yeah, Felix, would you like uppies?
Man, I'm not that small.
The window.
Oh, to the window. Oh, yeah, sorry.
I didn't fully explain. The back of the building is an equally as skinny alleyway. So the side of the building and the back of the building are just alleyways that are like 4 feet wide.
And so they're just buildings all around, basically.
Yeah, mega city life.
Yep.
Hashtag.
It's buildings all the way down.
Oh my God.
I mean, Robert or Haley, if one of you want to give me a boost up,
yep.
I can look in that window, see what I see.
Yep, I'll give you a boost.
All right.
Okay, so Haley, I'm not going to have you roll because you're strong AF. Mm-hmm. You effortlessly pick up Felix onto your shoulders and then just cheerleader lift him. He's just standing on your palms. You just lift him up, just shoulder pressing right over your head.
Mm-hmm. I got metal robo legs.
That's right. Yes, you do, little buddy, don't you?
No problem here.
No problem. Haley, boom, shoulder, military shoulder presses you up to the second story window where Felix, you actually have to crouch. Otherwise, you're going to be way too visible. So when you look through this top window, you can see that there is an empty room in there. But there is a open door that leads out into what appears to be a hallway terminating in a staircase that goes off to the left. Down.
All right, y'all, there's a room up here. It's empty, but I don't know if it's going to be empty for long. Hold on, let me check something. I'm going to check around the edges of the window that I can see if there's any, like, sensors that would alarm if the window was opened.
Okay, roll notice. Wisdom.
8.
Okay, with an 8, you trace your fingertips along the edges of the window while looking inside as much as you can through the paned glass. You see no wires, electrical or otherwise. You see no sensors, no electronics, nothing that could possibly be tripped by you opening it.
All right. Everybody, all right? I'm going to pop this bad boy open and see if we can get inside.
I nod.
I can't see you. I'm on the shoulders of a giant.
I lift my arms and give him a double thumbs up.
Oh, hold on.
Push him higher. You're just like, hey.
Thumbs up. She just fucking chucks you up to the roof. Can you take me higher? We're going to get copyright strike now. Great.
Oh, no. All right, I'm going to try to open the window.
It slides open effortlessly.
All right. I'm going to, as quietly as I can, pull myself in to the room.
You've already rolled a sneak check previously, so I'm going to continue to use that. You pull yourself into the room and slowly let yourself down onto the floor. You can hear two voices coming from outside of the room, quite a distance away. You're not sure if it's on the same floor or on the lower floor.
All right. What else do I see in this room?
This room appears to be a storage room of sorts. There are several different cabinets, all of them closed. And there's also a bunch of shelving along the southern wall. But all of the shelves are completely bare, probably raided or just simply destroyed over time.
All right, I look down. All right, it's clear. Thorn, can you get up here too?
I look at Haley as though preparing for a boost. I'm not quite as light as Felix, I don't think, but...
Well, doesn't hurt to try.
We're probably about the same because of my robo-legs.
What's your strength, Haley?
15.
Jesus Christ!
You can lift Thorn, no problem.
Yep.
Thorn's like, I'm not as light as Felix, so it's going to be a problem. And then you lift him as though he were a baby.
Mm-hmm. Thorn's like a little husky.
I'm very strong.
Yeah,
and very wisdom.
He's like a fat baby, and you lift him up. You lift up the fat baby that is Thorn, and you shoulder press him up to the window.
I help him in.
I crawl in.
Come on. All right, Thorn, over here.
What is it?
Why are we going to get the other two up?
I don't know. Same way, but we'll pull.
I guess I lean out the window. Robert, can you get up here too?
Yeah, but here's the real question. How are we going to get Haley up? I think she's going to have to stand on my shoulders.
I jump.
And she just vaults up in that thing. God damn, girl.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I have to interject
here. I don't think
I
can do that.
No, I'm pretty sure she has a 10-foot standing jump. That's reasonable, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think.
Well, let me just calculate real quick. And no way in hell. Okay.
Nope.
Yeah, but you can lift Robert Ross up if his afro is not too heavy.
Yep.
All I'm saying is she can definitely dunk.
And my question is how we're going to get her up in there. I think she's going to have to stand on my shoulders and then pull my ass in.
That's true. That might be the best way. Yeah, let's do that.
Robert, what is your strength?
I'm sitting at a 13.
Okay, and Haley's a big dog.
Haley's big, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to need you to roll exert. Okay, wow, nice. Great roll. Okay, so Haley clumsily climbs onto your shoulders, and your thighs of granite just absorb the immense weight that's being placed upon your fairly skinny frame.
Girl, don't touch the afro. Do not touch the afro. No. Girl, stop it. Stop it.
And then you shoulder press her as high up as you can, just grabbing onto her, the backs of her knees, and just wavering her up as high as you can. Haley, you're able to just barely grab with your fingertips onto the window frame.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm actually pretty impressed, but...
So you grab onto the window frame, and your grip breaks the cheap plastic of the window frame as you grip it and pull yourself in and clumsily fall to the ground. And I'm still using everyone's previous sneak checks. You hear two voices downstairs. Everyone can hear them kind of blah, 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 blah. And when Haley clumsily climbs through the window, the talking stops.
We freeze. I freeze.
Freeze.
I unclip my laser pistol from my belt.
I need the three of you to roll notice wisdom.
That's not bad.
Okay, 8, 7, 8. So all three of you hear hushed whispers and then the creak of footsteps climbing the stairs.
And there's nowhere to hide in this room?
It's just a bunch of like skinny storage cabinets that are like lined up against the walls. No closets, no bed to hide under, nothing like that.
I would like to try to get behind one of the storage cabinets so I'm not seen if they come into this room.
I think out of the three people in this room, you're the only one that's small enough to do that. And I think there's only one spot to do that. So you go into the corner and you wedge yourself between two storage cabinets and hide from view of people coming in through the door. But if they go all the way into the room, they'll be able to see you.
Yeah, and I've got my laser pistol at the ready.
Thorne and Haley, what are you thinking?
So I was thinking we get on either side of the door. You know, I'll get on the side that... Does the door look like it swings open on a hinge or slides open?
The door is wide open.
Oh, it's open. Yeah, okay. So just get on either side of the doorway. And that's the best we can do. And I'm just going to quickly... I don't even know if there's time to stick my head out the window and tell Robert what's happening. I'm not going to. I'm actually just going to go up to the door.
And the door does swing open. It swings open away from the side Felix is on.
Okay. Well, I'd like to be behind it.
Okay, so you go and you tuck yourself behind the door, and you can see between the crack of the door and the wall.
And I kind of just gesture for Haley, yeah.
And Haley, you're on the other side. In full view of anyone that takes even 1 inch of a step inside of the room, they're going to see you. Robert, you have no idea what's going on. Your friends have completely disappeared.
I'm just whistling Dixie over here, y'all. I'm trying to keep my cool, but I deeply want to be like, hey, y'all, how's it going? But I don't, because I'm cool.
Okay, so here we go. You hear the creaks of the footsteps as they approach the doorway. Haley, you're the only person that really matters right now. Can you go ahead and roll a sneak intelligence?
So what I imagine, because I'm like, regardless of how the sneak goes, I'm not betting on it going well, but I'm preparing to, because I have my revolver, but planning on grabbing one of the guys as soon as he comes through, shooting the other one, and then punching, some order of things. Okay, so sneak.
So yeah, sneak intelligence, because it's not about moving quietly, it's about understanding eye lines.
What? Wow.
Okay, so you, with a 7, tuck yourself into the corner the best you can. You're like, well, if he moves here, what are the chances that they approach the door from this angle or this angle? And you move yourself and you squish up against the wall in the storage cabinet next to you as best you can so that no one will see you until you're ready to pounce. Everyone else is completely hidden, unless these two men walk into the room like full tilt and go all the way to the center of the room.
So am I able to like aim my revolver right now to like, once they're enter the room, like it'll be at the right height to like shoot them?
Oh, that's a great question.
I would like to shoot one of them basically in the head and then immediately punch the other one.
Brutal.
There's a hit roll modifier of a +2 for shooting from a prepared firing position.
Oh.
Great. Okay, so yeah, so you're using a prepared firing position, so that will give you a +2. So you aim your gun at what you assume is going to be head height.
Yep.
And you wait. You hear them walking closer and closer. You hear a hurried whisper. Wait, was it over here? No, quiet. And you hear them move closer and closer. And then you see a face as a man slowly sticks his head into the room and locks eyes with you.
And I shoot.
Roll the hit. Don't forget your +2.
Yes.
The man has brown hair and blue eyes. He has stubble. He has very kind eyes.
Oh.
You think he might be a Scorpio. In fact, in another life, you and him may have connected on an emotional level.
I think in another life, I would have hit him. Wait. I'm a warrior. I can reroll this.
No, you can make it hit automatically.
I make it hit automatically.
Okay, so the man with the kind eyes in one dimension would have lived because you rolled an 8, but you decided that this man who has a family and kids, he must die. So you use your warrior ability to make sure that you murder this man. You deal, oh my God, 6 points of damage. You blow his head clean off with the overly large sidearm that you carry for some reason. an old world bullet courses through his temple, out the other side of his head, and penetrates straight through the door that Thorn is hiding behind at the kitty corner. And Thorn, the bullet embeds in the wall right next to your own head as the man on the other side collapses to the ground. And in the hallway, you hear a startled gasp. And then you hear thudding footsteps as a man begins to run away.
All right. I hear Haley's gunshot, and I stick my head out from behind the filing cabinet to see what's happening and hear the guy moving down the stairs. And as I see the body fall to the floor, I step out to pursue.
Okay. So you step out past Haley, and you see a heavyset man trip and fall at the top of the staircase and begin to try to scramble headfirst down the staircase. His upper half is still visible, though.
I would like to shoot upon him.
Oh, my God. You guys are ruthless. What if these are just normal people?
Well, you know.
They probably are.
That's actually a question. Are they wearing the armor of the guardians of the... or the great work people?
What if I said no?
I feel a little bad.
I would probably still be shooting him.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah.
What if I said they were wearing the robes of aesthetic monks?
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. They're only humans.
Okay, well, but I mean, that's all theoretical. They are wearing the armor, but I just wanted you guys to question your morality because you are awful people. You're just going around killing. Well, who am I running this game for? I'm learning so much about you.
You give me a gun.
I've never imagined that Steph would say, and then I wait for the man to walk in so I can shoot him in the face.
Look, Haley with two Ys has some skills, and they are, like, violent.
Robert's going to be so mad he missed all this.
Steph is still controlling Haley, and Steph is more psychotic than I thought.
My immediate reaction to when the gunshots go off is to run out into the clearest shot I have of the guy sitting and watching the sunset, magically enjoying life, and shoot that motherfucker in the face.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you guys?
Jeez, you guys with the face.
Felix and Robert both give me a roll to hit. I need Robert's roll to hit to be at a minus two because he's two stories down shooting up at an angle. Felix, you're just a flat. Oh, actually, Felix, you get a plus two because he's prone.
Yeah, I do. All right.
Bunch of fucking psychopaths.
Oh, my
Lord. Robert. Wow. Oh, my God.
Well, I look up at that guy, and I'm so deeply sorry. I know you're enjoying the sunset, but I run up out there and fire a 22 with my combat rifle with 16 points of damage.
And as you run out, the man hears the thudding of your footsteps, and he looks down, tears still in his eyes from viewing the beautiful sunrise just moments before. And the look on his face is, oh, who is this? Will this be a new friend to enjoy life with? And then you send him to the infinite black.
You're killing me with this.
You could have killed three people with that shot.
Meanwhile, inside, Felix takes aim with a plus two, which puts him at a 18, which hits the prone, slightly husky man that's scrambling to get down the staircase and plants a bullet into his spine. The man screams in pain and begins to roll down the stairs, thudding heavily. He continues his bloodied crawl, screaming, "Ah, help! Oh, no, please, no!
Oh, my God, they're help! So noisy. Haley, Thorn, little help."
By they, do you mean people?
Yes.
They're just people.
I will try to shoot at this guy.
Thorn starts to come out from behind the door. Haley, you shove it closed on his face again as you walk back out into the hallway. Lean over the railing and take a pot shot. Go ahead and roll the
Oh my God.
That's just what I imagine.
Yep.
Is Thorn's just behind this door in the kitty corner.
Oh
and he keeps
God.
Trying to come out. People keep just closing him back in. Oh, man. So an 11 is going to hit this prone guy one story down from you. Boom. 4 points of damage. Your pistol echoes through the switching station as you put this poor husky man out of his misery.
Oh,
above you, you hear a body thud against the roof. And then you hear Robert say something. You think it might have been like Yahtzee? You're not sure, though.
Well, I actually wasn't going to give chase. I was just going to check the possessions of the guy dead in the floor in front of me here.
So for the third time, you attempt to exit out from behind the kitty corner.
Yeah, I first look with a grimace at the bullet that went through the door and nearly killed me as well. And then I step out finally from behind the door now that all of my friends are out of the way. And I just check this guy's pockets.
So I'm going to fast forward and assume that you guys search all three of them. You find three rifles in the same disrepair as the two guys from previous. So you may or may not want those. They're fairly cheap and they don't work very well. They actually have a chance to misfire. That's pretty high. You also find 37 credits if someone wants to write that down. And
I do.
On the man on the roof, you find a family heirloom memento. And he has the same sort of rifle. He has the same sort of armor. He has a couple credits on him. 37 total across all three of them. And he also has a picture of an incredibly faded, wrinkled picture of a woman. Perhaps his mother, perhaps a long-lost love. It's hard to know for sure.
No way of knowing now.
Well, while Thorn is looting, I do want to make sure that there's nobody else in the building, so I am working with Haley to secure the area, and also letting Robert in.
Yeah, you open the front door, and Robert's able to walk right in. You look around the switching station, which is comprised of three rooms on the first floor and two rooms on the second floor. There's no other guardians in here at all. And you find the computer terminal that controls the switching station.
All right, let's finish what we came here to do.
So you are denied access because you don't have the access card.
Oh, she should have given us the access card. Well, I mean, this is no problem for a guy like me. I'll attempt to hack in.
Okay. Great roll. It's a fairly unguarded utility in this municipality. There's really no security put on it at all, besides what you end up finding out is an incredibly common password. You're like, oh man, how am I going to log in? Then you just type in admin, admin, and then you're in. Now you have access to the switching station.
Classic. All right, I look for a way to repoint the vents to the OmniTech Holdings facility.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically sabotage the system to shut down so it can't be changed again.
So, yeah, that's no problem at all. You point the methane pipes back to routing towards that portion of the megacity. And then you disable the controls as best you can. Now, you're not positive, but you think someone could probably reactivate them if the computer terminal is still standing.
So you're saying if the terminal wasn't here, they wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true.
I just glance at Haley.
Yeah. Sounds pretty simple to me. I'll punch it.
For Haley, you walk up yep. and just give it the business.
Yep.
You just punch the hell out of the screen, keyboard, various hard drives, as far as you can tell.
Thinking to myself, finally, I get to do this. This is my favorite thing.
Those drives weren't that hard. Punched right through them.
You punch a light switch that's nearby because you're not really sure what's connected to this computer. You like punch like an I-beam that's just supporting like the place. You're like, yeah, dent it.
Anyway, it's just, you already got it. It's just that. Okay, all right. That right there.
Got it. Yep.
Thanks.
That was it. Yep.
So all that's left is for you to go back to Mistrata 4 and see Dr. Alara Voss. But we're out of time for tonight. So we'll have to continue that adventure another time. Well, that's it for tonight, but before we go, let's take a moment to hear the thoughts and feelings of our crew about tonight's adventure.
Well, let me tell you, this planet smells like farts, but actually been a real good experience. We got rested up, and you know what? Hopefully, me shooting that guy in the face doesn't turn bad for us.
You know what? This all started off in a pretty rough place for me. You know, I was like, bleeding out on the ground, but started looking up when surprisingly Dr. Voss offered us a pretty good deal and was just really glad that for once a fight ended up going my way and making some contemporary art out of a computer terminal.
Well, we met that Voss. Well, met is a strong word, and you know, I didn't really like her insinuations that I didn't do a good enough job checking out the scapegoat. Like, I mean, I am more than capable, and there was nothing... Anyway, now she sent us on some mission to route some methane around, which, you know, Haley got to work out some of her frustrations on technology, I suppose, so it all ended up all right.
I knew this Dr. Voss was going to be a bit difficult, but I was hoping that she would just come along without too much trouble. Either way, it doesn't seem like there are any witnesses. Now all we gotta do is see if we can actually get the scapegoat out of here.
Thanks for listening, everyone. This has been another awesome adventure from...
Dark Star Adventures!
Whoosh! Off into space! Whoosh. Hey, and just one more thing before you go. I'd like to give out a huge cosmic thank you to Brad, our first and founding patron on Patreon.com. You're keeping the lights on, the mics live, and the story chugging along. Thanks so much, bud. We couldn't do it without you. If you'd like to be included in this monthly shoutout, please check out our membership options on Patreon.com/DarkStarAdventureCast. If you're enjoying the show and want to dive deeper into the lore, please check out our Patreon. You'll get ad-free, early access to every episode, plus a whole bunch of bonus content, including the Star Master logs, where I personally break down how the campaign's put together, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. You'll also get Haley's notes ripped straight from her old-school analog notebook, as well as exclusive character insights, behind-the-scenes glimpses you won't hear in the main show, and much more. Support the mission at patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast. And as always, thanks for listening, and keep following that signal.
Well, hey there, folks. Welcome to Astronomica, a Stars Without Number actual play podcast.
Our story takes place 6 centuries after the collapse of an interstellar empire as a band of ne'er-do-wells picked through the ashes.
We're not ne'er-do-wells.
If anything, we're oft-do-wells.
When have you ever done well?
We've had more than 160 episodes. There's been tons of well-doing.
That's too much for him to go back through.
Then he can listen to one of our regular synopsis episodes and get all caught up on the backstory.
Okay, fine, but you're rare-do-wells at best.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Guys, do you think we should scrap Astronomica and just make a show called Rare Do Well?
Yes,
I do.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
We've got more than 3 years of zany characters, unique planets, and novel sci-fi situations. We've built an awesome and inclusive fan community. We are not starting over.
Okay, but I mean, Astronomica kind of sucks. Rare Do Wells sounds awesome.
Don't listen to them. Astronomica is great. We're really proud of it. Check us out on a podcatcher of your choice or visit AstronomicaPodcast.com. Excelsior.